You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. Healthy boundaries are about protecting the value of your life and the quality of your relationships. You need to be good at practicing healthy boundaries whether you're married or single. Danny and Brittany are going to talk about healthy boundaries and pursuing wholeness in this week's episode, and it starts right now.
Hello, everybody. We are back here on The Kylo Show.
Yep.
So we're having fun. We are wrapping up our singles chat.
Here we go.
We're going to talk about what seems to be every question everywhere I go. Boundaries is always one of the top.
Mm-hmm.
Top questions, boundaries gets asked always, whether it's singles, marriage, parenting. It is a favorite. Everybody really loves
favorites. We have a little different angle today, though.
Yeah.
I think normally it's, what do I do with the scary people?
Yes, yes.
This is more like, what do I do with my yes?
Mm-hmm.
And how did I get it?
And the segment, they called it Pursuing Wholeness, which I really loved that concept. It's beautiful for, again, chasing after singles and you being a whole person.
Right. And sometimes people, you know, say things like, well, I want to find my other half,
mm-hmm.
which infers that you're half a person unless you get married.
Right.
And it's not at all true mm-hmm. that, especially within Christianity, it's absolutely fulfilling to live your life as single or as married. You know, if we take a look at Jesus and Paul,
he lived that single
they did
life.
A good job, uh-huh. you know, and they completely fulfilled their yes.
Mm-hmm.
They gathered it up, they protected it, they were clear about the boundaries of their life and executed well why they're here.
Yeah, with that yes is that's what makes the yes so powerful mm-hmm. and your no so powerful,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the big piece of boundaries is knowing what that is and how to navigate. And the living a full life for someone that's single, I mean, I think of a gal that worked for you and, you know, she was single for a long time and yes, she was looking for the other half for a long while, but she had such passion for her life. She had such excitement and happiness. I mean, you get around her and she was just kind of bubbly always. You couldn't help but be near, but, and her just, her joy get on you, and I think it's because she was really settled in that I'm waiting. This is a passion. This is a desire I have, but that doesn't stop me from being who I am.
Yeah, it doesn't stop me from being whole.
Yeah.
And actually, I had better figure out how to be whole before I go find someone else, and then I want to make sure they did the same thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. When we talk about boundaries, a lot of people kind of twisted into the idea that it's how you keep people out of your life.
Hmm.
I set boundaries with that person. Well, I'm just going to set some boundaries with that person. Well, yeah, well, it's about time that you just set some boundaries with that person. And like, that really isn't the goal of boundaries. The boundaries isn't about keeping people out of your life. It's more about keeping quality in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And what decisions do you have to make? What adjustments do you have to make so that your life is full of quality? And that would be the adjustment I would suggest for anybody, but in this case, singles, when you are moving through life, you're building stuff, you're putting stuff in your world
mm-hmm.
to help perpetuate why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
What are you called to? What are you anointed to do? What's your assignment right now?
Mm-hmm.
What people do you need in your life to be successful in that? That's the focus of healthy boundaries, more so than that person offended me. They're out of here. You know, send them flying. So as we talk about some of this stuff, I think that learning how to build a thriving life
mm-hmm.
is the assignment that we probably should talk about.
Yeah. Well, I think about is what is it that you are passionate about and, you know, like you said before, called to or an anointed to do. If you can't answer that question, then I'd be working on figuring out why you can't answer that question. And then if you know what you're passionate about or you want to pursue, what are you doing to nurture that? Mm-hmm. You know, you can't plant a tomato seed and just hope for the best. There has to be some nurturing to it. There has to be some tending to it if you actually expect to bear fruit from that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that is what the goal of being whole looks like is, okay, how am I taking good care of myself? How am I nurturing what needs to be nurtured? How am I developing friendships that are covenant, that are going to last more than just a small season in my life? You know, I look at friends I had in high school or friends I had in elementary school, and I can't, I mean, as far as covenant relationships, I mean, I talk to some on Facebook every now and then, but there's not a whole lot of super covenant friendships I made then, mostly because of my immaturity and not knowing how to do that. Later on in life, you know, I look at them and I had a different call. I had clarity and I was more of a whole person. Obviously, lots of room for growth because I'm still growing, but I still have those friendships. Mm-hmm. And they're still contributing because there's a, I know what I'm doing mm-hmm. to it.
When I think about how my life took shape, when I got saved, it was like a light switch went on, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, I could see a future that made sense to me. Previous to that, really nothing made sense to me. There was just nothing that I wasn't motivated to make money. I wasn't motivated to, you know, to be famous. I wasn't motivated to do anything. I was really not very motivated. And then when I got saved, all of a sudden I felt like I just want to give my life to Christ and help him accomplish anything that he wants to through my life. Mm-hmm. And so thriving for me became all about the success of sacrificing my wants or sacrificing my selfishness to invite more of the kingdom in mm-hmm. to flow through my life. And I learned that early on from the people around me, and I was looking at their lives and I thought, yeah, that's what I want it to look like right there. So inviting healthy leaders, you know, Bill Johnson, Bill and Judy Derryberry, Charlie, Julie Harper, and you know, I have all these people now. I have brothers and sisters that I run with, and I compare is probably the I guess it's probably the right word. It's just I ask myself, am I as committed? Am I as loyal? Am I as sacrificial as these people? Am I as generous? Am I as committed to seeing the kingdom come mm-hmm. as these champions that I've surrounded myself with? And if not, then what do I need to set a boundary with that's leaking that out of me? And if so, what boundary do I need to put in place so that I can keep this in my life? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah. So when I think about setting healthy boundaries as a person, it has everything to do with what sets me up to be more and more Christ-like as I go through my life.
And I think that's a beautiful thing for any singles out there to be on the discovery. I mean, anyone really, but if we're talking about singles, mm-hmm. you know, the discovery that you get to have wholeness and be fulfilled and happy in your singleness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it probably starts with answering the question, who am I and why am I here?
Yes, and trying to find, I think the conversation I have a lot often with young women is the, I know who I am and I know what I want. I want to be married, you know? And I love that desire. I love the desire to have a family, and that's beautiful. And I think that that's, you should keep that as a desire, but it doesn't define who you are right now. You know, you are in a different season right now. So how are you going to keep stewarding you being a powerful, thriving person before we get to this? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's a different garden you got to grow into, and you're not there yet. You're still in this garden, you know, and being so intentionally focused on protecting and nurturing what it is that God's put in your season right now. And I think that there's, from my conversations, there it almost feels impossible that this could be something I am excited about. Mm. When there's such a longing for a family or a spouse. So how do you give hope and encouragement to look at the current garden you're in and growing and find joy and excitement in that?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is boundaries, right? This is like, you know, what am I called to do? Mm-hmm. You know, or who am I called to be? Maybe is probably a better way to say that. I'm called to be a man or woman of God. Mm-hmm. That doesn't change. Maybe I'm called to be a prophetic voice or a creative person or a teacher, an analytical thinker. Maybe I'm called to be nurturing and caring and serving. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you just kind of go through really, maybe I am a strong leader and I'm meant to lead well.
Yeah.
Things that I'm responsible for, whatever it might be. That's what I'm called to do throughout my whole life. Mm-hmm. What am I anointed in? Well, that anointing is generally like, what are you gifted at, mm-hmm. and what do you love to do, and what becomes timeless? You know, mm-hmm. what you lose track of time when you do this thing. What is that? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's entertaining. You know, maybe I'm just so good at that, I just lose track of time. Or maybe it's studying, or maybe it is helping other people sort through issues and problems. I don't know, but mm-hmm. there's an anointing on your life. What is that? And then what's your assignment? Mm-hmm. And that always reminds me of Banning Leibscher's message about Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. And every family worked on their part of the wall. You know, every person worked on the part of the wall that was in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, what is your assignment? This part of the wall right here.
Yep.
And if I do my part, this whole wall is going to get built just because I did my part.
Right.
And if everyone approaches this, you do your assignment. You do your job. You have a team, and you're basically telling you know, the guys on the team, okay, you have one job. Mm-hmm. Do your job. Everyone else, same thing. Mm-hmm. Do your job. When we go through life, whatever stage or phase we're in, it changes. Mm-hmm. It really does. Yeah. Your assignment does change. Your calling, your anointing, they don't change much. I would even argue that maybe your calling doesn't change, but your assignment does. Mm. You have been brought into this situation. Work on this part of the wall mm-hmm. that's in front of you. And what do you need to do to make sure that you thrive in that assignment with this anointing in this calling? I mean, that's where boundaries, I think, start really lighting up for people, is they start to pay attention to, oh, I'm a father. I'm I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a worship leader. Mm-hmm. I'm a pastor. This is my assignment. This is what I'm doing. But it's going to change. You know, the difference between being a parent of toddlers and being a grandparent are different planets, different assignments.
Yeah. I love that. I think, you know, clarifying your anointing, your calling, and then really leaning into that as a single and finding excitement, joy, and fulfillment in this season, the garden that you're in, and saying a wholehearted yes to that until the season changes, you know, and be grateful for, be grateful for summer when it's summer and winter when it's winter, but be in your season so you can enjoy what it is that God's calling you to do and fulfill that, that thing of wholeness. Yeah. So that's great. I love it. Love all of that. So good. All right. Well,
awesome.
Singles, figure out your yes, I guess, and start protecting it.
And find a healthy leader that you really respect and take notes.
Ask good questions.
Yeah, ask good questions. And maybe they're not somebody that you get to spend any time with, but just take note of what they protect and take note of what they get rid of in their life.
That's good.
And go and do ye likewise.
Good. All right, we're going to jump into questions next.
If you've been married 10 years or less and find yourself saying things like, this is harder than we thought, or I didn't expect my marriage to look like this, or maybe we feel stuck and we don't know what to do, this means you're human. And I got a perfect solution for you. It's the Young Marrieds Workshop. It starts October 7th and it's in Sacramento. We're gonna be live in person. You'll have Danny Silk, Sherry Silk, Ben Serple, and Brittany Serple bring you tons of information and practical tools that you can use to build the marriage of your dreams. If you want to learn more, visit youngmarriedsworkshop.com.
All right, so we're going to dive into the questions that we have. And again, just a reminder, if you have a question or a testimony for us, please send it to us. Go ahead and visit thekyloshow.com, and you'll find where to do that there. Because we love your questions, and we need more.
We do. Keep them coming.
All right, so the first question we have today is Jonathan.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. First off, thank you so much for doing the KYLO show. And my question is, what are the most important things that I need to work out in my life before I join my life with someone else forever?
Continually on that search.
Yes.
Which, I mean, that's good. That's what we want. People asking those questions.
It's true. Well, this is the version of it too, is the boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what am I willing to protect with my life? Mm-hmm. Find those things. Find the mountains that you would die on, so to speak, and cultivate them and prioritize them or protect them, so that when you find someone, they value that too.
They're probably on that same mountain, hopefully.
Hopefully they are, and hopefully they want to join forces with you in protecting those really important things. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you will be dying on a mountain because you're fighting with this other person, and they don't understand what you're doing, and it's really miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I love the finding your yes, you know, your passion. I think a whole person is so much more attractive than a broken person, you know. And then a person that's just, though I will say that there's always people trying to find be the rescuers. I know this. There's always got to be the hero. But as a whole person searching, you know, that's what stands out in a crowd is someone that's whole. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, they look different. They walk differently. You know, there is a piece to them, you know, when they speak, when they have a conversation, they bring something different than someone else that doesn't have this wholeness, that doesn't have this passion or this drive or this anointing. And I think that's right on.
And if I'm not whole, you know, if I feel broken, then that all feels like competition I'm going to lose. Mm. That's really scary over there. That wholeness, super scary. I'm going to go find me somebody I can compare myself to, and I will always be able to point to their brokenness if they point at mine.
Totally.
You know, so this is kind of back to we don't attract who we want, we attract who we are. Mm-hmm. And healthy begets healthy, but unhealthy doesn't beget healthy. Mm. So we're not, you know, this is our journey. This is our assignment, really, is to get healthy, get whole, so that we connect with other whole people instead of feel so threatened or competitive with other whole people.
Yeah. That whole comparison swirl that happens, you know, you judgment, criticism. I mean, you start to just fight back and forth of like this whole person. Well, you know, it just feels like it's a breeding ground for yuck if you can't, you know, work on yourself first, mm-hmm. and then bring that to the table. Mm-hmm. And I, again, the yes, being a powerful yes, and identifying those things, it's great. Love it.
Super.
Mm-hmm. Great question, Jonathan. Thanks so much. All right, we've got Priscilla as our next question.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. Thank you so much for doing the Kylo Show. I have a desire to be married, but my parents have always taught me it was better to wish you were married than wish you weren't. I am in a small church that doesn't have a ton of options. I would love your thoughts on using online apps to meet people. Thank you so much.
That's the world we live in.
It is.
You know, but careful what pond you go fishing in, because sometimes there's radioactive materials dumped in that pond, and you end up catching a fish that glows in the dark, and if you eat that thing, you know, you may set off airport scanners or something.
That's an elaborate example of what could happen on online dating. Oh, man. Okay. Well, you know, sure. I think it's a real example as far as the world is. We have more opportunity to find some crazy than normally at your local grocery store or mm-hmm. coffee shop limits, mm-hmm. you know, where you open up to the internet. It's a very large pond for sure. And I think this goes back to what you're saying earlier about boundaries and knowing and working towards being a whole person. Mm-hmm. Because that changes what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. If I know what I'm, who I am, I'm not going to be tempted by something that I am not. And I think that's probably the loudest thing I'd be working on is know who you are, because if you don't know who you are, man, that candied apple that's dipped in poison.
Look good.
Maybe it's worth the risk. Maybe it's not as poisonous, you know.
Maybe I'll just get a little bit sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the part where when you lack that truth, it feels like that's where compromise sinks in. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad to watch, you know, people who have fought so hard to stay pure, to protect something, waffle in just protecting their yes, and then they give it away in a second, and then their whole life changes mm-hmm. with a poor decision. So I think it comes back down to knowing who you are.
Yeah, if you haven't built something worth protecting, you know, if you don't feel like you're thriving in life, then you've pushed responsibility away from you, hoping that someone else is going to bring that to you.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to bring thriving to you. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to work like that. It isn't. You're going to be you with that person and not with that person. Mm-hmm. Now the synergy is there, but the making up for what you didn't do with you, that doesn't go away. You still got to make up. You still got to become whole. You still got to find the mountain you're going to die on. You got to define the core values of your life. You got to define the mission that you're about, and otherwise you'll just keep waiting for stuff to happen and hope it's good. Mm-hmm. and you won't be on your march towards creating a life you want to live in. You'll be wishing that somebody else gives you one.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty powerless posture, and it's super risky, and it's really the reason a lot of people are unhappy as singles or in marriage is I just didn't do the work. I didn't do the work on me to get where I want to be.
Yeah. Mom always says, everywhere you go, there you are.
Yeah.
And that's the truth is make sure you want to be who you want to be. So where when you show up, it's something great. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll just move.
Yeah.
We'll just move, start a new job. And the bad news is you went with you.
Yeah. Your poor communication, your insecurities, they're all still there.
Yeah. Yeah. So do the work. I mean, there's no shortcut here. You'll spend your whole life doing the work. And you'll either spend your life trying to find it or you'll spend your life enjoying what you built.
Mm-hmm. That is truth for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Great question, Priscilla. Next one comes from Jordan.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. I've really enjoyed the show, and I just want to thank you guys for doing it. I have a question for you, though. I have a friend that always seems to have an opinion when I haven't really asked for it. And setting up a healthy boundary is hard because we've been friends for so long, and they feel like they have 24/7 access to me, if that makes sense. And I know a lot of that goes with, like, technology and always having our phones on us. But, yeah, so I just when I need someone to talk to and I just need to talk things out, I'm not always asking for an opinion. And so I don't know if that's something I just need to make very clear before I open up to this person, or how would you establish that boundary?
I think there's two questions kind of in there. Mm-hmm. You know, first one is, how do I give the feedback of, you know, I'm not looking for feedback. I'm looking to process. And how well are you doing, Jordan, with setting those boundaries that communicate that you're not available 24/7?
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, what I heard was what I commonly hear married people say, and the difference between the way women communicate and the way men communicate. But it's really the way verbal processors communicate and the way internal processors communicate. You can generalize it to men and women, but it kind of breaks down because everybody does it. But verbal processors, they're just like, they're finding their solution in the journey of a conversation. It's kind of bleeding off all of their thoughts, and then they go, oh, found it.
Yeah. You know?
And it's hard to not just say, here, stop talking.
I found it already.
Yeah, I found it, so you can stop talking now. And yet that's part of the relationship, and that's part of bonding, and that's part of feels respectful if you listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think with, you know, your mom is very much number one communication strength. You know, she's just number one. I think mine is like 20 or something. It's way down
34.
There. I don't need to talk. It's a strange thing. People think I just love to talk and I just have all this stuff to say. And I'm really a pretty quiet person when I'm not doing this stuff.
It's true.
You know?
I can vouch for that.
I just kind of, I like to listen. I like to look at people talking. I like to, I chime in here and there, but I don't need to talk. And so your mom would be talking, and I would go, well, here, do this. Here, fix. I'm trying to fix it. She's like, I don't need you to fix it. So I don't know when, because then there's times where I'm like, she's talking, and I just being quiet. She's like, why don't you say something? Why did you? I'm like, okay. We need to define what we're doing here.
Code word.
So I now say, I can identify it better now, but for a while I would say, are you venting or are we solving a problem? And that helps me identify my role in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And my odds of success went up dramatically. And I think Jordan is just going to have to be able to say something like, you know what? I'm venting right now. I don't need a solution.
Yeah.
Are you up for it? Or I need some help solving this problem. Yeah. All ideas are welcome.
Mm-hmm. And even if they communicate, I'm just going to vent right now, is at work, and the friend says, yeah, sure, of course. And then they're venting, and then the friend jumps in and says, you know, and then that reminder back to like, hey, I just need someone to listen right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good, you know, that might happen as you're in training process mm-hmm. of teaching this friend of like the difference between the two of what you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think, you know, as far as the phone goes with the technologies available always, is you don't have to respond.
It's so true.
Just because it dings and pings
you
and chimes,
have to that
you
phone.
Don't have to do
you
anything
don't
with
have
it.
To respond to a text, you know, like, it's so true.
And I think that being able to say, you know, they say, why didn't you respond? Why did you get my message? What, you didn't say anything? It's like, oh, hey, I did, but I just wasn't. I wasn't answering texts right then,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not taking any calls right now.
Yep, got to you as soon as I could.
Yeah, sorry about that. What did you need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's the urgent now in your lap, in your face. Do something about it. I mean, I get texts a lot, and I will just leave that little blue bubble right there. I'm like, I will read you later because.
Mm-hmm.
My phone has yet to discover the swipe over. I have not gotten to it like my email does. I really wish that feature would be part of my text conversation. That would be...
Mark as unread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I
could. Wow. I don't know how to...
How hard would that be?
That would be wonderful if that could happen. But until then, that just stays blue, and I'm fine with that.
Yep.
So...
I get back to you.
It's okay to say no.
Yeah. That's I always think about somebody barging into your office or something. Your door is shut, and they just barge in. Hey, I got an urgent question for you. Like, hold up, this person I'm talking to right now, they got my attention.
Yeah,
you can have it. You can have it later.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
All right, good questions. Love it. Great job. Okay, well, we're gonna move on to testimonies next.
Fantastic.
If you can't attend the Young Marrieds Workshop in person, that is okay. We have another option for you. You can do the virtual on-demand workshop. We'll send you a live replay of the workshop so you and your spouse don't miss a thing. If you want to learn more about the virtual on-demand Young Marrieds Workshop, visit youngmarriedsworkshop.com.
All right, so we're jumping into our testimony spot, which is always fun.
Yay.
I always love to hear how things are going. All right, this one comes from Daniel.
Hey, Kyla Show. Hey, Danny. Hey, Brittany. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share my testimony on Kylo and how it's changed my life and really how much of an impact it really has been in my life, you know, and just a lot of changes that, you know, I've chosen to make because of this principle. And, you know, I truly look at Kylo not only as a principle, but really an asset to my life. And it's an asset that I like to invest in daily. I actually have this saying, and you know, I always say that I am my biggest asset, and I like to invest in myself daily. And honestly, Kylo is a big part of that. You know, Kylo is something I like to invest into myself, and something that I choose to do, right? Just choosing to love. And you know, I was made aware of Kylo about a year ago, the last year, and I always like to say that Kylo is like a truth, and I've been made aware of the truth. And so hard for me to go back to the lies that I've been living or I've been fed, you know, prior to Kylo. And, you know, it's something that I choose to live out each and every single day. Again, it is a challenge. You know, being first introduced into Kylo, it was such a huge transition. Like, I never knew anything about boundaries. I never knew anything about connection or distance. I never knew anything about, you know, like being passive or, you know, powerful, or, being powerless and powerful. And really just, it made me aware of how I've been brought up, and not to blame any of my circumstances of people or people that I've had in the past, but really just, I knew I had a lot of unlearning to do, to learn new things and to relearn, right? And it was a transition. It was a challenge. And I'm not even going to lie, I'm going to be completely transparent and say that it still is a challenge. It's something that I'm definitely still getting used to. I mean, that's 22 years of doing things one way, and then only a year of being brought into the truth, like I said, right? And so, but it allows me to stay powerful. It allows me to be not a toxic man, but a biblical man, and understanding that principle, and you know, and how strong the power of a man is in people's lives, and just kind of looking at the world nowadays, and even looking at the world that I used to live in, there was you know, it was a mock of a quote unquote powerful man, you know, and you know, not to talk bad on them, but nothing about that was powerful. Nothing about being a drug addict was powerful. Nothing about, you know, selling drugs was powerful. Nothing about cheating on women was powerful. Nothing about, you know, not taking care of yourself as a man is powerful. And so, yeah, it opened my eyes to really see, what a powerful man is, you know, what a real powerful godly man is. And, you know, that feeds into myself, that feeds into my family, feeding that into my current relationship with my fiance, Sandy, and, you know, prioritizing our relationship, right? I mean, obviously my relationship with God goes first, but, you know, being able to apply this principle, into my relationship with Sandy, is where it starts, right? Especially when we have a family. And so, yeah, you know, the principle of Kylo itself just really allows me to be a powerful biblical man instead of a toxic man, not going towards the toxic masculinity, but more the biblical masculinity. And, yeah, and just staying true to, the image of a man that God has created me to be. Kylo definitely helps out with that each and every single day. And, you know, now I get to live that out, right? Having healthy boundaries, choosing to love over fear, choosing connection over distance, and really just understanding that no one has a control over me. I have full control of myself, you know, can control my emotions, my thoughts, right? That's all me. And that has a lot to do with how powerful I can be, how powerful I can choose to be, right? And how much of an impact that truly makes in everyone's lives, right? And how a man, you know, can make a change and impact in people's lives. And, you know, being a powerful man will lead to father power, and which is something that we all need, in this world today. Right. And so, you know, this principle itself has changed my life forever. Super thankful for it. And I'm excited for the next generation to experience it. Thanks, guys.
Well, he is a change in his world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of fun to listen to him identify a whole new mountain to die on. You know, I mean, he just basically went through the five key principles and said, this is a mountain I'm going to die on right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to protect this going forward. This was not handed to me. I don't think anybody around me knew any of this stuff. They would have lived differently probably if they did know. Yeah. I found it.
Yeah.
I found the truth. The truth set me free, kind of a thing. You're like, wow, well, that's the journey. That's the revelation and kind of the benefit of finding things that work, mm-hmm. and living your life to keep them in your life, mm-hmm. and warring against anything that tries to diminish those things.
Yeah. I love even, you know, he's kind of alluded to not growing up in this way and that, you know, not blaming anyone, but really just even being identifying and honoring, like, they didn't have these tools, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go get them for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I that's a beautiful thing to even kind of communicate in that manner of, you know, they doing the best they know how to do, but I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do something more. I'm going to,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn. I'm going to chase after it. I'm going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
so in a year's time, sounds like he's done a lot.
He's done a lot. His life's changed a lot in a year's time. Yeah. And he kept talking about, you know, being not a toxic masculine man,
mm-hmm.
but a biblical man. Yeah. And I would just add to that a Christ-like, yeah. man. You know, like, this guy is really learning how to put on the character of integrity and to step into the role of being a man.
Mm-hmm.
He's been raised, he's kind of in the eye of the storm in the generation that makes you afraid to be identify yourself as a man. Mm. Like, I am a man in this relationship with this woman, in this marriage, in this day and age. You know, yeah. So it's so like, oh, you are like Conan the Barbarian. You are such a, like, no, I'm a man.
Yeah.
And I have a role. We just went to the Braveco. I'm not sure how far away this recording will show up, but we were just with a group of men in a room, and Jason Valentin put together this conference with Braveco, braveco.org, if you arg,
Braveco,
arg.
They're pirates.
It's a pirate
ship. They're really getting into
Braveco
the
pirate
thing.
Ship. Braveco.org. Uh-huh. But there were so many just beautiful things. John Eldridge was there. He just led everyone through Wild at Heart and Fathered by God in three sessions. He just moved these guys through some of the false beliefs that they hold on to that really hamstring men. And Todd Pierce, he broke a horse in 30 minutes in a corral in the Civic Auditorium. You know, it was just like, what is happening? But it was so beautiful because he walked in, he said, this horse knows that someone powerful just entered the arena. And then he just went on basically to have a dialogue between the father and the man. And the man was the horse and he was the father. It was beautiful. And in 5 minutes, men are crying. They're just crying because they're like, oh, that's me. That's me right there. That's the Lord. That's me. And so to hear Daniel describe his identity shift or his repentance around what it means to be a whole, healthy, Christ-like man, it's like, yep, you got it, baby. Go Good get job. It. Mm-hmm. Here we are. Starts with number one, goes through number five, keep going.
Yep.
This is beautiful.
I think the Braveco event you're talking about is available to purchase, I heard. So they, if you're curious.
Braveco.org.
Org. But I think that's the thing that makes whole healthy families is when we all know our role and we are walking in that with wholeness and we're walking in it with confidence and we're walking in it with the design of heaven wrapped around it. And I'm continually on this march to find it. And, you know, again, to hear this concept a year ago and to go, that's what I'm chasing after. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give, protect, steward, learn what it means to, you know, have a purpose, have a calling, and activate that in myself. Mm-hmm. And then turn around and, you know, somewhere in there, Sandy shows up and, well, I have something different to offer you than I probably ever would have. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to have.
Yeah, and she's on the same journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're just figuring out how to clarify the mountain that they're willing to die on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to raise their family on this mountain. They're going to chase away everything that compromises the mountain. They're going to sacrifice whatever they have to do to learn and grow and apply more of what's in this mountain. It's just awesome. This is the whole boundary conversation is how do I keep, what do I have to do to keep in my life the things that allow me to thrive in my calling, anointing, and assignment?
Yeah, so good. Well, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great way to end the singles is love the topic of boundaries and wholeness and becoming that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome. So singles, we're cheering you on. We are championing you to become whole and healthy and change the world, whether you get married or not, mm-hmm. or want to or not, you know, just go, run, do it. Be one that walks around whole and Christ-like, like you said. So thank you so much for joining us on The Kylo Show, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany start a new series on dating and engagement. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. And don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Allie Armerding, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Anna Hill, Leah Alexander, Sherry Silk, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.